Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we have together tonight to come before your throne. Lord, we're thankful. We're so very thankful for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. Lord, that you give us the privilege and the honor of knowing you, that you reveal your ways and your heart through the living Word of God. Father, we thank you for all of those who laid their life down literally to bring us the truth of your Word. So much blood was shed to get this Bible to us. We're so thankful for it, Father. Blood is still being shed today to take this word to a hurting world. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We really will never be the same again. As we hear this word, Father, cause our understandings to be enlightened. Cause us to hear the voice of your heart. Cause us to grow in the knowledge and the wisdom of God. Cause us to walk right with you as we walk through our life, walking in the ways of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And we started last week, faith versus fear, looking at the two together and seeing how they compare, what makes both of them work, what we need to do to be aware of them working in our life, and how we can control the fear and control those things that hinder our faith. And last week was part one. This is part two. And believe it or not, this is somersault turning, jumping up and down, singing and hollering ministry. We may not realize it when you're talking about fear, but and what it does. And when you look back at your own self and see how you've walked in that and how it's affected you in your life. But when you get down to where the rubber meets the road, it can change our whole life. It can change everything about us and everything about our future if we know what fear is and how it works. If we know that, then we can control it. Then we can keep it from taking over our life. We can do something because God does not want his people ignorant. That's why he wrote this book. He wrote it and put these things in there, good and bad, so that we could see both sides. And so that he can reveal his ways to us. Remember, his ways are always love. There's no fear in God. If fear is around, it's not him. It does not come from him. Let's get started here with our section on faith. This is our confession on our section in faith, or our foundational statement, what we ought to call it. It's our foundational statement. A person walking in the ways of the Lord is a person who is committed to and is diligently walking the love walk, developing the fruit of the Spirit in every area of their lives. Now that part of that statement goes for all of the fruit of the Spirit. It goes for all of the ways of the Lord. That's what that person should look like. They are faithful to God and his living word. They walk a life of faith anchored in God's living word. Now that doesn't mean that we won't ever fail. It doesn't mean there won't be times when we're not doing that. But if we know what we're supposed to be, if we know the benefits, if we know what God's ways are, then we can turn our ways to his. Then we can know right from wrong, good from bad, blessing from curses. We can know his ways. We can know and recognize as we're walking through our life whether we're in the right path or the wrong path. Mm-hmm. We'll know whether we're going to prosper or fail. Mm-hmm. We're going to know whether we're being spiritually minded or carnally minded, whether we're walking in life or walking in death, walking in darkness or walking in light. Mm-hmm. And when you get right down to it, I and you are the only ones that can control where we walk. Mm-hmm. God gives us an opportunity. Satan tries to deceive us and pull away from where God wants us to walk. But in either case, whether we're walking in darkness or light, it's our choice. Mm-hmm. God gave us free will choice, and there's no one that cannot choose. You have to choose. If you don't choose the right way, you're automatically walking in the wrong way. If you don't choose Jesus, you're automatically walking in darkness and on your way to hell. If you don't choose light, you're automatically in darkness. See, there is no middle ground. That's what people think. Well, I'll just walk my way. I got time to No, you don't. No matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, the choice is still yours. It's yours every moment of your life. Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? Remember that? Mm-hmm. Who do you say that I am? First he asked, who do they say that I am? Mm-hmm. And when they told him, oh, you're some great prophet or something, that's what they think. He never responded back to that, did he? Mm-hmm. He never said, where'd they get that at? He never said anything about it. He turned it right immediately after the answer. He says, who do you say that I am? And that's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. But I taught on that one time, and when I was doing that, it came up in me to share the fact we answer that question with every decision we make. Who do you say I am? When I choose the wrong way, I've answered that question. I've rejected him in that area. When I choose the right way or the good loving way, I've answered that question. We have opportunities to answer who he is with every decision we make. I'm declaring by the way I answer and approach those problems and issues in life, by what I do and how I answer that, I'm declaring who he is to me. I'm declaring whether I am real or not, or whether I know him or don't know him. And if it's obvious I'm not making right decisions, what do I do about that? Mm-hmm. Oh, I guess I'm going to hell. No, you're not going to hell. Mm-hmm. You fix it. You get back into the Word and repent. In your now moment, you change your mind. You change your thoughts. You change your ways. You repent. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But that's up to you to do that. If you don't confess your sins, they're yours. But if you confess them to him and asking him for his mercy and grace, it's yours. It's a guarantee. You don't have to wait to see if it's there. He said he would. So that's an absolute. An absolute is something you can't change. He said it, and therefore it's real. I've answered I've answered the question, who do you say I am, when I come to him with my failures, with my faults, with my shortcomings, and I bring them to him, and I receive that forgiveness. See, we're not alone. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've made him your Lord and Savior, you're never alone. You're never going through those dark times alone. Never. So as we study fear and faith, what we're doing is comparing the two. How does faith work? And in the same circumstance, how does fear work? How they work? And that's what we're going through, some of these things we've discussed before, but we're doing it in a context of comparison. If I know how my enemy's weapons work, then I can understand what he's going to do. I can understand his ways, mm-hmm. not just God's ways. I'll understand the enemy's ways. And that gives me an edge over him where I can defeat him. Especially if I realize I'm the one making the choice. God's not choosing for me. He refuses to do that. Love doesn't make you do anything. Satan deceives you and pulls you away by your own choice. But neither one can do anything in and of themselves without you. To a person who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, faith, which works by love, is a normal, natural way of life. A believer who does not walk the love walk and live by faith, he's abnormal. He's abnormal. The believer is supposed to walk by faith because we're faith creatures. We love our Father. Jesus died on the cross for us. He became our sin so that we wouldn't have to carry the penalty of our sin. He took our place so that we don't have to go to hell. So when I received him as my Lord and Savior, my normal way of life is a life of faith. But if I don't know what it is, if I don't know where it comes from, if I don't know how it works, well, then how am I going to do? But that's still my responsibility to find out. It's my responsibility to get in the Word and find out what His Word says. How do I live this life? That's my job. But a believer who does not walk the love walk, who doesn't care either way, he's just out there cussing like everybody else, throwing people around, mean and ornery, and doing mean things to people, that person's abnormal. If he knows Jesus as his Lord and Savior, he's not normal. You know, I said, what guy's abnormal? No, I'm not. He is if he's not walking by faith and love. 2 Timothy 1:7, we read this one last week. We're going to read it again today because it covers what God has done. We can see the difference between the normal and the abnormal here. Paul is writing to Timothy. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You can see there in that scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, you can see the difference in the two. You can see where the fear comes from. If God didn't give it to you, then where did it come from? You weren't born with it.
No.
You were born into it. But you weren't born with it.
No.
You know, it's not part of being a human. Love is part of being a human.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is part of being a human. If it's fear related or has a root of fear, it doesn't come from God. God did not give you that. He will not give you that. He cannot give that to you because God is love. There's no fear in God. He can't give you what he doesn't have. So if it's fear related, it's not God. Very simple to figure out. But he gave us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you're walking through life depressed and full of fear and worry and anxiety and all of these things, God didn't give you that. He didn't even make the circumstance to cause you to be that way. Your decisions caused you to do that, be that way, but the circumstance didn't. You made choices to be afraid of that. You made a choice to meditate on and to dwell on that issue or problem to the point where you become fearful and depressed. But God didn't give that to you. God gave you a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. That's what God gave you. So if you can see and divide the two. And that's what we're doing. We're looking at faith versus fear. God gave you faith. Satan gave you fear. God's the author, and he's the person faith. Faith works by love. God is love. Faith comes from God. Fear comes from Satan. The very first time fear ever existed was when Satan stood in the throne room of God, and he said, I'm going to take your place, God. I'm going to raise my throne above yours. That's when he fell. That's when fear was born. Satan's the father of fear. If it's fear related, he's the father of it. Romans 1:17b, and that's going to be a little short one. So you can go there if you want to. Our next one's Romans 5. I'll go ahead and put that one up here too. Romans 5:1. It's just going to be a moment in Romans 1:17b, last part of that verse. The just shall live by faith. Now, not only is that an absolute, it's also a commandment. The just shall live by faith. In other words, they're supposed to be walking a life of faith. Faith. Because. Why? Because we have been justified by faith, Romans 5, 1 and 2. And because we've been justified by faith, now we live by faith. Justified means it's just as if you've never sinned. Justified means you've been made right with God. You were separated from God, But now you've been made right with God. You're justified. If you go to court and you're being accused of something and that they're going to put you in jail for it, your defense counsel has evidence showing that you didn't do it. Now the jury, if you have one, or the judge, or both, justifies you because you didn't do it. Now you've been made just. You've been justified. How does that apply to us? Adam fell. He sinned. And everyone born after Adam sinned Adam's sin because we're born into his sin. So we automatically sin when we're born. We can't get away. We can't say we never sinned because we have original sin because of Adam. No one could be justified because a sinless man, had to die in the place of the sinner. But there wasn't any, because everybody was born after Adam until Jesus. Jesus was born of a woman, but not of a man. His father was the Holy Spirit. He's the only man that ever exists or ever will exist that did not have a natural human father. He had a human mother, but his father was God. So he was totally sin-free. He was not connected to Adam. He was not connected to Adam's sin. Mary was the carrier until he was born. So because he was sin-free, of his own free will, he could die for man. He didn't have to. It was his choice. That's why Jesus' death on Calvary is so important to us. It's because he didn't have to. He chose to die in our place. Without Jesus, everyone that ever has existed or ever will would be in hell. There would be no way out. That's why this is so important. My point is, when he came, instead of praying the Father, if it be your will, take this cup from me. He goes, I don't want this, and walked off. But he didn't do that. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. He laid his life down. Had he chose not to do that, would the bosom of Abraham have existed anymore? I don't think it would have. I think it would have been absorbed into hell. Because we'll never know, because it didn't happen. He died for us. But when Jesus came along and did die, the reason I say that, in man's place, the bosom of Abraham was absorbed into heaven, into eternity. It don't exist anymore. I don't think it would have existed either way any longer. Because everybody would have been in hell.
If Jesus would have said no,
That's what I'm saying. So there would have been a bosom of Abraham. There was until that point when Jesus did choose. Thank God we will shout through eternity about what Jesus has done for us, what God the Father and God the Holy Spirit has done for us, for you and I, and for everyone, even those that don't know him and refuse to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He's done it for them too. And that is love. That's love. So we've been justified by what Jesus did. Now, because he's justified mankind and said there's no more division between man and God, he's made that up. He took away that division by the death of Jesus and made a way. He still left a choice with man. Because love has to do that. Even though he paid that horrible price, that ultimate price, he would not make one single person receive him. It's got to be the person's choice. This man living inside this single body, I have to make that choice for me. No matter what mother does or anybody else, they can't do it for me. I have to make a choice. I'm the one that chooses my eternity, and only me. And that's why this is so important. It's important whether I make it important or not. It's my eternity. Heaven or hell. Even if I don't believe, the word's still there. That word never changes. My choice. And we've been justified by faith, and because we've been justified by faith in that, now we live by faith. We live by faith, not by fear. We live by faith. And like I said, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without faith. And that's why. Because of the great price that was paid. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. You see, love working here, not fear. If I'm walking with God, I'm walking in love, because I am born of love. I'm born of God. Because I'm born of God, I know God, who is love. I still have to choose to walk in love. To a person who does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, fear is a normal way of life. See, the person who knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, faith is a normal way of life. We may not be walking in it. We may know Him as our Lord and Savior and still not walk in faith. So we're abnormal, like I said a while ago. But the real believer, the one that knows Him, walks in faith, and that's his normal way of life. But to a person who does not know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, fear is a natural way of life. They're going to walk in fear. They don't have a choice. We have a choice. They have a choice in the sense that they can receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior and then not walk in fear. But if they don't do that, they're going to walk in fear. Fear will be the god of their life in some form or another. We're going to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Well, Jesus is the author of our and developer of our faith. Now, an author is somebody who writes it. It's like you write a story, the story originated with that person. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the author of it. It comes from his thinking, his faculty, as he writes the story. So he's the author of it. Well, Jesus is the author and the developer of our faith. Not only did he originate with God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, not only did it originate there, Jesus is being the Word. He's the author of our faith, but he's the developer also. And we see that in Hebrews 12:2. Now, looking at Jesus, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, or developer, I think King James says developer, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. His pathway to being seated in authority with God after becoming man was the cross. Had he not went to that cross and died for us, he would have been in hell. He could have not escaped from hell. And that's hard for us to comprehend. But because he died on the cross for us, he was able to be raised from the dead by the Holy Spirit, and he's seated at the right hand of God. But we are to look unto Jesus. We can know he's the author and finisher of our faith, but not look unto him. Look unto him means to focus on him, focus on his way of life, to make his way of life our way. Right in the midst of the problems and troubles of life, We look unto Jesus, the author and finisher or developer of our faith.
That's several of the translations also call him the pioneer.
Some do the pioneer. I think it's a King James says developer, but the New King James says finisher. The same thing. The finisher, what does he do? What does a finished carpenter do? Or a mason does concrete. You know, he finishes that. It's real rough till he puts the finish on it. Or cabinets or chairs or whatever, there's a finish coat that goes on. It's rough until that time, but that finisher, he sands it, makes it smooth, makes it beautiful, fills in everything that needs to be fixed. He does all of that. Then he puts the finishing coat on it. We were mighty rough before Jesus met us.
Amen.
Before we came to Jesus. And he's the finisher of our faith. He's the one that develops it. Our faith might be rough now, but we look unto Jesus, and he's the finisher of our faith. Satan is the author and developer of fear. Jesus is the author and developer of faith. Satan is the author and developer of fear. He authors it, that's where it comes from, and he develops it. Satan is hate and fear, the way God is love and faith. You see how we've got to make our choices here. What do I want to walk in? How am I going to live my life? Am I going to walk in hate and fear or anger, strife, turmoil, being upset all the time, worried and fear and all of that? Or am I going to walk in love and faith? My choice, not God's. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Amplified says it's a title deed of our faith. Now, right now, faith is the substance, the rock solid substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. My faith is the evidence that it's there. But what's the other side of that? Fear is the substance of things not desired. My choice again. If I have faith, God's faith in the Word, I'm believing, I'm anchored in the Word, I have faith, I'm walking in that faith, then that becomes the substance of things hoped for, things that we desire. But if I'm walking in fear and worry and strife and depression, that's the substance of things not desired. They're both the substance of something. Because faith and fear function by the same laws. But not the same laws. They function the same way. Fear is faith in the wrong thing. When you fear something, you believe it's going to hurt you. You believe that something's going to happen. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. What happens? See, there I told you, I lost my job. Why? Because you developed that. You had faith in that happening. You could have reversed that and say, Father, I love you. You're my provider. You're the one that takes care of me. And I'm walking in your ways, Lord. So I'm applying my faith to believing that my job is secure. And if I do happen to lose my job for whatever, I got a better one coming. You're my provider. You meet all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He meets my needs. And if losing my job is a stepway to a new, better job, praise God, but my steps are ordered by the Lord. That's how you pray. That's your faith talking. I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to lose it. Well, you're going to lose your job. It may not be immediately, but you're going to lose your job. Because you are applying your faith to that. Faith is an action word. You can't have faith and not apply it. Can't have faith and not move on it. If you say it's faith and there's no action following that faith, you don't do anything with that faith, not moving towards what your goal is with that faith, then it's not really faith. It's presumption. It's head thought. It's just brain. Has no substance. James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. If you're a doer of your faith, a doer of the word, now you're putting action to your faith. But if you don't do anything with it, but you just know the word, and yeah, that's true, God will take care of it. And he will, but you're involved in that. You've got to apply your faith to it too. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Some of us just hear it and we say that's a good idea, and because we're hearing it, we think we have faith. We have knowledge, but faith is an action word. I apply it to what I know. I do something with what I know. With what I'm hearing, I'm doing something with it. It's changing my life. I'm applying it. Praise God. James 2:17. Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. If it's only a head knowledge, there's no action following that, I'm not applying it to something and moving with my faith, then it's dead. It's just a head knowledge. Fear is also an action word. Faith is an action word. Fear is an action word. When you act on fear, it will produce what you are fearing. How do you act on fear? Just like I give you the example, you know, you're going to lose your job. You act on that. You apply worry to it now. Now you're preparing for losing your job. That's in your thought life. You're thinking it. Whatever it is, you are applying fear as an action word. And it will produce what you fear. It has to. Faith has to produce the word if you are applying your faith to the word, believing it, and keeping it there. It will produce that. It will produce what you're hoping for. Fear is the same way. Whatever you're fearing, it will produce. Fear will produce that. So who chooses? I do. I choose whether I'm going to fear. And if I catch myself fearing, whoa. No. I reject you, fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear. So you did not come from God, I reject you. Instead, I receive a sound mind. Amplified says a well-balanced mind. I like that. I choose to walk in faith. And you open your Bible up and say, by his stripes I'm healed. It says, my God meets all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You use the word as your anchor for your faith. If you don't want what you're afraid of, then don't fear it. If you fear what you're afraid of, you're going to produce it. Your choice. Faith acted on produces the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Fear acted on produces the law of sin and death. These are laws. I didn't write these. These are laws. Romans 8. Read it again. Read it last week. But it says it point blank. Romans 8:5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. One's death, one's life. One's fear, one's faith. But where does it lodge that? Their mind. They set their mind. If I set my mind to something, what am I doing? I'm doing that. And you're not going to change. I'm going right there. You set your mind. So those who live according to the flesh or according to fear or according to darkness, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. They're motivated by that. They're pointing their life that way. They practice it. It's habitual for them. So they're going to wind up with the law of spirit of death working in their lives. But this person that chooses and says, no, I am not going to fear. I'm not going to. And you do battle with that. Now you're setting your mind on the spiritual things, which is life and peace. Faith is always now. 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 Faith is always now. Fear is always now. Are you afraid tomorrow? Well, you may be. But when does fear affect you? Right now. Because faith is faith, fear is faith. Faith is always now, fear is always now. Both operate in the now. What do you want in your now? Whatever you have in your now functioning, guess what's going to be there in your next now? The same thing, because you operated in fear in this now, fear will be in your next now when you get there. We must stay in our now moment, seeking first the kingdom of God with our faith applied to the living word. What it means by staying in your now, most of us don't live in our now. Well, we really do. But our brain don't function in our now. We spend all of our time in our past or in our future or both. We concentrate very little on our now. Our now is what affects all of our entire future. And I can change anything in my now. I can't change anything in my tomorrow or my yesterday because it's not here yet. Or it was. The only place I can make decisions is in my now. The only place I can choose faith or fear is in the now. I can't choose it anywhere else. So I must keep my mind in my now. Concentrate my thoughts and the things I do and the things I focus on. Concentrate on my now, and that will lead me to my future. Because all my future is a collection of now moments. All my past is a collection of now moments. My entire life, after I've lived 74 years, I've got 74 years of now moments. I don't know how many I'll have in the future, but eventually I won't have any now moments because I'll be in eternity. There's no time there. So there's no now moment. It's all one now. Can't wait. Praise God. So we must concentrate on our now with our faith applied to the word. Living the faith and love walk. Satan will always try to get us to fear a circumstance or a problem in our now moment. Satan will use the fear and worry to move us away from our now faith. I have to cooperate with him. See, he tries to get me to focus on that problem. Oh, what am I going to do? All this stuff. He tries to get us to think that way. But if I don't do battle with it, I'm going to think that way. Born again or not. But I don't have to because I'm born again. I've not been given the spirit of fear, so I have to accept that spirit of fear for it to be able to work. I have to want it to work. Well, I don't want that to work. You're choosing it, so you want it. You may not know you're choosing it. Well, I don't have any choice. Yes, you do. You're just not using your choice. And because you're not choosing God's way, the other one is default. Default is something that happens automatically. You're going to walk in fear and worry. You're going to walk there if you don't choose God in His way. If you don't choose faith and love, you'll wind up in fear and worry. It's just that simple. You're going to be in one or the other. All the time. Every now moment, you'll be in one or the other. Well, I'm just having fun, right? Everything's cool. No. There's something operating. It's still working. Your last fear is still functioning. You're not doing anything with it. You have to take the word, your love for the Father, and focus on faith and love. Your love walk will cancel the fear. What you do in love, what you do in kindness, what you do when you focus on your love for others, being other-centered instead of self-centered, when you practice that kind of love, it overrides the fear. Fear and love can't work at the same place. They can't exist together. And it's something that we really need to know. Fear and love, faith and fear cannot operate together. One or the other. And if I don't do something with the fear, it will function by default. Because the whole world is under the law of sin and death. We've been redeemed from it, but we have to walk in that redemption. That makes sense. See, it's up to me. I can walk in fear all I want to, and I don't want to. Most people will say, I'm not going to walk in fear. I don't want to walk in fear. Then start making choices for the word that keeps you from doing that. If you don't do make your choices, you'll wind up right there. It's automatic. And no one's immune. Everybody's going that way. That's why it's so important for us to know these things, is because if I know that I can choose, then that gives me my way out. But if I don't know that I can choose, then I'm stuck. And all the time, I don't have to be that way. Live a whole entire lifetime fear and depressed and worried and bitter and unkind to others, and just live a whole life that way, and you don't have to. And you ask the person, did you ever receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Yeah, I did that when I was a teenager. You're 80 years old now. What happened? Oh, I don't know. I never went to church or anything. You don't know Him. You know about Him. He, in His mercy and grace, in a moment when you actually chose Him, He done His part, but you didn't do yours from then on. You lived in the filth and the squalor and the muck and mire of the world, and you didn't have to. See, that's sad when we don't have to do that. That prodigal son that wound up slopping pigs, he didn't have to be there. He chose that. He wanted to spend his inheritance. You know, he wanted to spend his inheritance before he was entitled to it. What he told his dad, I want my inheritance. He said, Dad, I wish you were dead. Why don't you go die and so that I can get my money? That's basically what he said. So the father gave him his inheritance, and he spent it all on loose living in a foreign country. Then the worst thing for a Jew is to go fool with pigs. And that's all he could do, was eating what the pigs ate. Then it says, I love it, he came to himself. What am I doing here? The slaves and the servants in my father's house eat better than I do. I know what I'll do. I'll go back to my father's house. He wised up, but how many don't? How many don't? They don't have to live that way. And we don't have to either. But it means we have to do something with our faith. That's why it's important to know these things. Each one of us sitting here, we each have a choice. I can live my life in faith and love, walking with God, or not. my choice. And at the end of my life, whatever my choice was in those now moments, that determines my eternity. I can't say that strong enough for myself or for others. We are choosing our eternity every now moment. We're choosing the good things in life or the bad things in life. Is faith work? Faith, it takes work. Because you're not going with your carnal nature. You're not going the way the world goes. You're going against the stream. But when you stop paddling your boat, what happens? You go right back where you were. Because the stream's going that way. Like this picture. Two roads. One to eternity. One to the fiery pit. The one looks pretty good. He's even got a lot of arrows pointing that way. But you wind up in hell. The only thing not burning in that picture is the churches. Everything else is burning. And, you know, it's got to tell you something. That's not just a painting. That's reality. Well, Lord, we thank you for tonight. I thank you for this word. I thank you for teaching us, Lord. You want us to know this so much. You want us to be able to rightly discern our daily path, rightly discern our thoughts, rightly discern the way we want to choose our life to be. Father, thank you that you just didn't say, okay, they can all go to hell. No. You sent your precious son, Jesus. And Jesus said, yes, Father, I'll go. I love them too. And the Holy Spirit done the same thing, all out of love for us. Lord, we're thankful for that.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you for revealing your heart to us, revealing your ways. And we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.